Some good deeds are done by many of us. Hopefully only a few do bad deeds. The Bible speaks of both kinds of deeds. It says in 1 Timothy 5:25, likewise also deeds are good are quite evident, and those that are otherwise can't be concealed. In the Bible, the word deeds is used in the more current translations. Maybe you have a Bible that uses the word works. They both come from the same Greek word. From my observation over the years, I've noticed that perhaps the most common religious misconception, and I suppose there are a lot of them, but the one that I can recall most vividly is the one that says, if you are good enough, you get to go to heaven. A dear preacher friend of mine who's gone on to be with the Lord, Leif Culver, told me one time that he was calling on a member of the congregation where he preached, and she was sick in the hospital and on her deathbed and probably didn't have long to stay. And she said these words to him, Leif, I hope I've been good enough to make it to heaven. And when Leif told me, he was in tears because he said, what have I done that would have given that poor soul the idea that going to heaven was going to depend solely on how good of a person I was? And of course, he made extra effort from that time onward in his ministry to focus attention on the truth of God's word that makes it quite clear that one is not going to heaven simply because of doing so many good things. The reason for that is because if you just commit one sin, you're a sinner. And that one sin would nullify however many good deeds that you might do over the course of your lifetime. If you're a sinner, then the Bible that teaches all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God means that you will not make it to heaven without some outside help from God to provide that other than by doing a lot of good things. This morning I want to talk to you about good deeds indeed. And there are 4 points. I guess we have them on the monitor here. First of all, it's quite clear in the Bible that performing good deeds cannot get a person to heaven. And Julie quoted this verse that I'm going to read now from Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that, meaning the salvation by grace through faith, is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And that's only one of a number of verses that speak about that. The truth is, not by our good deeds or good works will we be entitled to enter into heaven. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And that latter part parallels John 3:5, where it speaks about the new birth, being born of water and the Spirit, answers to the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Not on the basis of deeds. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there who haven't gotten a hold of that idea and are working their spirits to the bone, if that could be done. to try to be good enough. Maybe you're one of them. And we're going to see that there's a place for good deeds before the message is over. Galatians 2:16 says again, three times, that a person is saved through faith in Jesus, and three times that it's not because of the good deeds that we do. Listen to it with me. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith and not by works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. It speaks, it just reiterates, it almost goes overboard to emphasize what is not the basis for salvation, and that means justification, and what is the basis. The basis is faith in Christ. There are at least another six other passages that verify and state that same thing, but of course, we're not going to go into all those. Now, if we can get a hold of that, then the second point that I want to make is that God sees and knows all our deeds, whether they're good or bad. I suppose we know that intellectually, but maybe not to the point where it has an effect on the way we live from day to day. God sees and knows and hears everything we do and say. That's pretty heavy. And if we can get a hold of that and allow it to really govern the way we live, it's going to have a bearing on our deeds, whether they're good or bad. Revelation 2:2 said, and this is Jesus speaking, and that's to the seven churches of Asia, and to several of them he said, I know your deeds. Now he was a positive person, and he speaks of the good things that people do and that he observed. And he commends them for them. And he's happy for the things you do that are good. He says, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance. Two good things, isn't it? Hard work and stick with it. And then in verse 19, he said again, I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance. I would hope that he could say that about you and about me. Those qualities that need to be in our lives, Jesus sees them and notices them and commends you for them. Again in Revelation 3:1, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Oops. Here's a place where he's not commending. He sees those deeds, and he sees that you have a good reputation. And as John brought out this morning, for attending church meetings and giving money and speaking up for God, but someone can have those kinds of things and still be dead. Jesus said, you've got a name that you're alive. People say, what a life that person is living. And yet Jesus said, you're really dead. Now that's a little bit spooky that there can be that condition. And then in Revelation 3:8, I know your deeds because you have a little power. Well, that's better than none, I guess, but I think he wants us to assert a greater degree of power. And you have kept my word and have not denied my name. So Jesus sees all those things and he's glad that you have them. And then the last place, the fifth time that he uses the word I know your deeds, is in Revelation 3:15. And he says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. But because you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. This is pretty gross language. The word spit there in the Greek is the same word for vomit. It seems as though it's saying that it makes Jesus sick to see people who are half-hearted and who are lukewarm and who are not really devoted in heart and life and in spirit and mind and thought to the Lord's work. But that's what he says. So Jesus sees and hears and knows everything. He knows what we're thinking during the day as we're at work and interact with fellow workers. He knows what we are like and what we're saying when we're in home with our spouse or with our children or with our parents, and an argument ensues, and we say things that we regret later. He's got a record of that. He heard it. He knows it. That ought to have some incentive to get us to just be more concerned and more careful about our deeds, whether they're good or bad. So God sees and knows all of our deeds. Now, on the subject of good deeds, Christians are expected to perform good deeds. There is a place for good deeds. It ought to be a regular part of the Christian's daily walk to do good. And there are many passages that bear that out. We're to learn good deeds. It must not be something that comes naturally. Because it says in Titus 3:14, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds. Now, maybe part of the benefit of our being in an assembly, as God expects us to be every week, is in order to learn how to do good deeds. I hope that from week to week, as you listen to sermons and are in Bible classes, that you'll pick up on things that will enable you to perform good deeds, because our people ought to learn good deeds. These people, you people, we people need to learn to engage in good deeds. Well, what for if they're not for salvation? If it isn't to get us to heaven, why do them? Here it is. To meet pressing needs. There are so many needs in life, in our lives and in the lives of our family and our neighbors and our friends, our co-workers. People have a lot of needs, and we need to be there for them when they have that need. And then it said, so that they will not be unfruitful. In other words, so that we will be fruitful. You know, there's a lot in the scriptures about Christians needing to bear fruit. And fruit can be in various ways. One being the good deeds, the actions, the words that we say and do to other people. That is fruit bearing, and God expects us to do it. Our good deeds ought to be evident. We read this earlier in 1 Timothy 5:25. Likewise, also deeds that are good are quite obvious. You know, some of us, in doing good deeds, kind of wonder whether anybody notices. But truly good deeds are evident, and people see them, and they have an impression on them. And if you're a Christian, perhaps you can have as much impact on people's lives for God through the way you treat them and the way you act as in the words you say. It takes both, actually, but good deeds are actions. I had the privilege 2 days ago of taking an atheist to the store at Kohl's. He wanted to buy something. He didn't have any wheels, and he still uses, except the ones on the walker that he pushes. And so he needed to get to Kohl's, and I thought, well, you know, he is an avowed atheist. People have talked to him about God. He says, no, I don't believe in any of that stuff. Well, what is your first impression about that? Well, just write him off. I mean, he's not worth the time of day. But I got to thinking, maybe God can use something, some little thing that one could do for him. And that knowing we are Christians, he might say in his mind, you know, they're not all bad. They have reason to maybe not like me because they know I don't believe like they do. So anyway, I took him and had to let him out at the door and then go in and get a basket and bring it out to the car, and so he could get out of the car and push it instead of his walker, and then go get the manager to find the sweater that he wanted to buy. And so it was no big thing. I didn't mind it at all. But I'm just trying somehow to demonstrate to him that Christians love atheists. Well, why not? Aren't they people? I don't love what he doesn't believe or what he believes that is... Not very helpful. He told me one day that I said, what do you do for a hobby, Len? And he said, oh, I write. And I said, oh, good. I like to write too. I'd like to see what you've written. So in a couple of days later, he said, I'm going to bring some of my writings down and show you. So he brought a couple things, and I'll have to say they were dark. Negative and not very uplifting. And I thought, you know why his writings are that way? Because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit in his life, in his heart, to refine his thoughts and his mind and his feelings. Anyway, good deeds can be a help. They can be a help to anyone and everyone. Maybe we ought to look around and see where things can be done for people that will be a blessing and maybe help them find the way to God. All right, it says they're evident, but they're to be intentional. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are His, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So good works are part of the Christian life. They're not what you do to get to heaven, but they're what you do to be a part of God's family on earth. That's the way God is getting a word out that He's a great God through His people. You don't hear him speaking out of the clouds, do you? You do hear him as you read the pages of the Bible. But you also learn about him through seeing his people. You've heard it said, you may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. Your life, your actions, the way you treat them can be the only Bible they read. Also, good works and good deeds are to be carefully maintained. Titus 3:8 says, this is a trustworthy statement. Whenever it says that, you better pay attention because that's pretty important, apparently. And concerning these things, I want to speak confidently so that those who have believed in God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These are good and profitable for men. So part of our activity, our service, our working out our salvation for God, as it speaks of, has to do with demonstrating to the lost the good deeds that we do. They're to be abundant. Oh, I like this one. In 1 Timothy 6:18, here's what Paul told Timothy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works. That means do a lot of them. Do good ones. Do significant things that will be considered good for other people. To be generous and ready to share. And then there was this lady Dorcas in Acts 9:36. You remember when she died? And they had a memorial service for her, I guess. And they had tables out there. And all over the tables were these clothes that she made. She made some dresses for the ladies and some pants and for the kids and others. And they had all that stuff out there. Maybe someone even said, we've got some tables over here with stuff that Dorcas made. Look them over before you leave. And then it says this, Dorcas was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she did continually. She didn't just do it once in a while. She was a constant doer of good deeds that blessed other people, and she did that in order to bring glory to God. And we don't know how many people were influenced by Dorcas and the good deeds that she performed. And then another thing about them is they're to be zealously performed. Titus 2:14 speaks of that. Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. That means you really are on fire and you're looking for ways to do good. You're constantly alert to where someone has some need that you might be able to fulfill. And so you move in and do what you can to help them and to be a blessing. So it's expected of you. It isn't the unusual thing, it's the norm. I don't know if you do a good deed every day. I'm not sure if I do, but that would be a good thing if we were to concentrate on how we can do some good deed every day. Is it in order to get to heaven? Is that what's going to make the difference? The last point is number 4. Good deeds become the basis for a Christian's eternal reward. See, there are verses that tie good deeds together with reward, but not in the sense of getting us to heaven, but when it comes to meeting out what will be the quality of our eternal reward. And there are at least 5 or 6 verses on this I want to read to you. Listen to these. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be repaid for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And here's where the misconception comes in that I spoke about earlier. People read that and say, see, that tells you what you have to do to get to heaven. Well, that's not really what it says. It just says you'll get paid back or recompensed for the deeds you do, not get to heaven. Revelation 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. So good deeds will make some difference when judgment day comes. It won't be whether you get in the door, but it'll be what you get after you get in there. 1 Peter 1:17, if you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, judged according to each one's work. Romans 2, verses 5 and 6. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. And then one more. Jesus speaking in Revelation 22:12, Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. It's connected not with salvation, but with rewards. You say, well, all I care to do is get in the door. I don't want anything more than that. Well, that's not really what God said, because he said, learn to do them. He said that they're evident and that you were created in Christ Jesus for that purpose. And you're to carefully maintain them and do them abundantly. So don't fall for the world view that unless you're good enough, you won't make it to heaven, because you're not good enough and you never will be. So that rules that out. God already made that clear. The perfection of God is so complete and so perfect that no one can achieve good deeds to the point where salvation will be given to them. We talked about the holiness of God in Sunday morning Bible class. God is so holy that in comparison to him, you and I are sinners, no matter how good we try to be. God sees and knows and records all your deeds. Yes, even every person in Aurora and every person who attends services here even. So God's watching, not to zap you in some bad way, but he wants to see from you the kind of good works that are characteristic of Christian people. While good deeds don't save, they serve a valuable and essential purpose. They need to be evident, intentional, maintained, abundant, and zealous. And what did we see? One of the reasons was they meet a pressing need and they are evidence of our fruitfulness. And they're recorded and will have a bearing on the final reward that we receive. I don't know how you feel about getting to heaven. I'm sure you've thought about it or you wouldn't be here today. But if you are thinking about how to get it done, rule out trying to be a good enough person to earn it. Don't be like that lady who lay on her deathbed and said, oh, I hope I'm good enough to get to heaven. Those kind of words are among the saddest that someone could ever hear, because that poor lady, and I trust she made it, but it was not by her good works. She was mistaken about that. But I hope that you will see that it is through the blood of Jesus, who died, was buried, and rose again, that you'll ever get to heaven, and your active, obedient faith in him will be essential if you'll get there. It won't be how good you are. But then that doesn't let you off the hook. We've got good works to live out in our lives. And I trust that all of us will see the need to surrender to the Lord and be faithful to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the plan that you have, O God, about how to get to be with you. Thank you, Father, that it doesn't depend on how good we can possibly be, because that would rule us all out if that meant that. But we thank you that it's through Jesus that we'll make it. And God, help us to see that the Christian life is a life of service and dedication and good works that we can do for others to be a blessing to them and to help them see the need of Jesus. Watch over us through the week and help us to be faithful in good works as you desire that we be. In Jesus' name, amen.